Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will sing to the Lord. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
it is now, and will be forever.
Amen. I will sing to the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing, and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows on them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Let us join in the gradual. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 16. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But not of my own will, I am still entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one reaches the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if you're interested in the game today or not, but it ought to be a good one, I would think. You've got two excellent quarterbacks. You know, you got the older one, the one I used to root against when he was with the Patriots, but now I root for because he's in the right division, so and the right league. So then that's just my opinion, but there I stand. But of course we know that these players that are playing today did not just come by their abilities from birth. From birth they were infants that were like you and I when we were infants. Not enough strength in our legs to walk yet, and not enough strength in our arms to lift anything. But over time they've become the athletes they are today. They've worked hard to get to where they are today. And they can never really stop in terms of training to get to this point today, can they? They've got to keep working at it all the time. They have to practice. They have to do certain things. They have to discipline their bodies. They have to be disciplined in what they are doing and focused on the end result of all of that practice. And hopefully, that is to win. That is to win. But isn't that the way it is with everything? I sometimes start out to cook something new, and it doesn't come out right, and I kind of just say, okay, you know, I'm not going to do that again. And then one day, I'm listening to one of my favorite chefs on the YouTube channel that I've come across, and she's talking about, because a question came to her, how do you make meals taste like they do from the restaurant? And she said, well, it's practice, practice, practice. She said, once you do something good, don't stop at that point, or if you do it bad, don't stop at that point, but do it every day. Until you get to that point, you've reached what you were, you know, aiming for. And I went, she even said, if it's boiling an egg, if you're not good with that, do that one thing. She said, don't make it complicated. Just keep doing that over and over again. And I went, wow, that's what I'm missing. But do I really want to keep eating the same thing every day? The answer is probably. Especially if it gets better and better. St. Paul in his epistle lesson talks about being disciplined and being like the athlete. Be like the runner or even the boxer. But it takes discipline. And we know that runners don't get to where they've gotten to without a lot of training. Think of all those people who have gone to the Olympics. The amount of training they go through. Some of them, from the time they're able to run, they're already in training, which is amazing to me. But someone has in mind, my child has really good ability to run, and I'm going to help them sharpen that skill, even if it means hiring a coach. But that child will be disciplined in that whatever running ability they have. Some have short distance, some have long distance. Some are good with relays, some are good with cross country. Not every runner is the same. But they know how to train. There are things that they have to do. They have to watch what they eat. They have a lot of work to do to keep up that ability so that one day they may win that laurel wreath as they cross the finish line at the Olympics. But St. Paul says that's a perishable kind of reward. But you and I, we have an imperishable reward. And he calls upon us to be like that runner or like the boxer. He calls upon us to keep our focus on the end prize. Keep our focus there. That's how we win. By not being distracted by the things that happen around us in the world, but by looking at those things and moving ahead, knowing that our trainer, our Lord Jesus, is with us. And He encourages us and moves us along. Now, we don't have to go out and practice, you know, running or, you know, that kind of thing. Did I ever tell you the time I ran track? My track coach told me I ran like an elephant. And I ran. I tried. I didn't have that skill. My older brother does, but not me. And I proved it when the guy running the 100-yard dash that I was running against was crossing the finish line. I was on about 50 yards. So sometimes running ain't what we need to do. But thankfully, when it comes to living our faith, we don't have to be runners in a race. But nevertheless, we are in a race, in a sense. Because time is short. Jesus said that. St. Paul said that. Jesus put it more in terms of the day is growing short. So work while it is still daylight. Run the race. Keep our eyes focused on the goal. That's what St. Paul did in his life. He kept his eyes focused on the goal, the one who gave him life. He talked about it in the letter, and we heard how he talked about it, that he is compelled to proclaim this gospel. And woe to him if he doesn't. He is compelled because he knows what Christ has done for him. He knows the life that has been given to him. And for that reason, he says, I have become all things to all people. To the weak, I became weak. To the strong, I was strong. To the lawless, I became lawless. But he remained in the law of God and our Lord Jesus. But to those under the law, he said, I became as one under the law. Wherever he was, he became part of that, let's say, community that he was in at that time. Whether it was in Corinth, the Jewish town, or in Jerusalem. He became all things to all people. For what reason? That he might win some. Because then his joy would be manifest, one might say, when he himself crossed that finish line and would see these others who also will cross it with him. That's his motivation, the love of God, the love of Christ, the love for those around him. How much St. Paul loved his own people, we hear in his own words when he says, if it would make a difference, if it would cause them to believe, I would give up my own life. And you know he did. He gave up his own life not only for Jews, but for Gentiles alike. He gave it up for the strong and the weak. He was willing to die. He was willing to suffer all kinds of hardships, starvation nearly at times, perhaps even stoning, to eventually being beheaded outside the walls of Rome, where he proclaimed to the princes and kings of the areas. He proclaimed God to all the rulers. He proclaimed God to anyone who wanted to hear and would listen. He was never shy about it, but he always respected those whom he was speaking to. He was never arrogant with the gospel. He never demanded anything from anyone for that proclamation, though he says, I had a right to it, but I didn't act upon it. I didn't want to do that because it was important for me that they hear the gospel and see it in me, that they too would believe. You see, that's the kind of training St. Paul went through. It was life itself. It was in context to wherever he was, whether it was in Jerusalem, whether it was down in Damascus or up in Damascus, depending on which way you're looking at a map, I suppose. You know, if you see the map in the Bible there, sometimes we're easy to say, well, that's north. Well, no, not really. But it is when we look at the map. But he talks about that, and he talks about that need to be out in the community. Jesus kind of demonstrates that in the gospel too, doesn't he? I mean, he hasn't just come for one group of people. He hasn't just come for the folks in Capernaum. He's already been in a synagogue. He's proclaimed the word of God. He's cast out a spirit, an evil spirit. And he goes after that over to St. Peter's house, the house of Simon and Andrew. And there he meets Simon's mother-in-law, who is ill, and he makes her well. And then the whole town starts coming by. And we're told that pretty soon the whole town are out there waiting, possibly to hear Jesus, to maybe be healed by him. And he doesn't hold back. Then as evening falls, all of them go to sleep, I imagine, like the rest of us would. And then he gets up early in the morning. When I read that, kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, and we'd go on trips, and we'd stop at usually a hotel with a swimming pool. Yeah, just these little motels along the highway, you know, back when there were no or very few interstates. And we would swim and have a nice evening, and then we'd go to bed. And for some reason, I always found it kind of difficult at first, but my dad wanted to get up early in the morning before the sun rose. And we'd be out loading suitcases in the car again. And I'm looking up in the sky saying, there's stars still out. Early in the morning, that's when Jesus got up, early like that. It's still dark, and he goes and finds a quiet place so that he can be in prayer. What a wonderful example for us in our also need to be in touch with our Lord, our God, to speak with Him. After everything has settled down, after the busy day is done, even perhaps in the middle of the night when we wake and we can't go back to sleep, what a wonderful time. Perhaps God is saying, I need to talk with you. That's a nicer way to think about it. Or maybe you need to open your heart to me. And so we do. I've started doing that rather than laying there tossing and turning, trying my best to go back to sleep. I just start praying. Because I figure, well, maybe that's what God wants me to be doing. And I think we all need to be doing that. Even if it's early in the morning, it's quiet still, sun's not even up yet. What a wonderful time to just spend with the Lord. A time with Him alone. Take out your book, your Bible, or devotional, and read a little bit, and meditate on that if need be. But I bet you got a lot of things on your mind that you would just like to pour out to God, and just really didn't seem to find the time during the busy day. Maybe there's more than just, Lord, help me, in your heart that you need to speak. But I think that helps us. I believe it does. I believe that helps strengthen us and helps us stay focused. Because it's really easy to get focused on life in this world, in the struggles we find ourselves in. It's easy to hear all the different voices out there trying to grab our attention. Go this way, go that way. Follow me, follow them. Whatever. You got schedules to keep. You got appointments to make or whatever. But we need that time. We used to have that in society, didn't we? When we were growing up on Sundays, you had that time for the whole week. For, you know, one day, the whole week. No work. But all that's changed, and not necessarily for the worst. It just opens the door to doing the gospel in different ways and new ways. God always moves us in a different direction sometimes so that we can be all things to all people. So that we too can be weak with the weak or strong with the strong. We too can, you know, speak with those who are under the law and maybe show them a better law, the law of love that is in Christ Jesus. But we too can be like St. Paul. We too can be like others who have already run the race and have gotten that wreath that is imperishable, that crown, that place in God's house. You already have it, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking physical stuff here. One day, even though we have the kingdom before us, and it belongs to us who are children of God, we know that we don't have it completely. We're still in this world of struggle. We need to turn that over to God. We need to let Him direct us and lead us in our life. But we need to listen. We need to listen as we pour our hearts out to God and listen to Him speak to us. And He'll do it in His way. And you'll know it because the Spirit will speak that to you. St. Paul says, be disciplined. Keep focused. The wonderful thing is the Spirit of God leads us in that. The Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit, after all, is the one who called us into this relationship. He called us, He has taught us, and He will continue to teach us because our race is not done yet. And just like the athletes that are playing today in the Super Bowl, just like the athletes that prepare for the Olympics, even when the race is done, that game perhaps is done, the training goes on. It doesn't stop because there's a new year ahead. There's a new day coming. A new opportunity. Same for us. We too need to continue in God's Word daily. We too need to be in prayer daily. We need to receive God's gifts whenever we can. The gift of His holy body and blood given for us for the forgiveness of sins. We need that. We need that strengthening of one another when we come together to worship. We need that strength because this is God's strength. It may not appear all that strong to the world, but it is, and we know it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'll ask Bob and Jenny to come forward, please. A few months back, we received the transfer of membership for Bob and Jenny, but we haven't received them formally into the congregation through this reception of members and profession of faith before the congregation. So we're doing that today, and we're glad to be doing it. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to His apostles, "Whoever confesses Me before men, I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of our Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Answer, yes, I renounce them.
Yes, I renounce.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I believe. Yes, I believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired Word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? So say, I do.
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? So say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, say, I do by the grace of God.
I do by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, say, I do. Will you support the work of our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? If so, say, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your son and daughter, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit they may continue steadfast in the one true faith in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen, and welcome. Let us pray to the Lord, who has dealt bountifully with us. We give thanks to you, dear Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, that through him the gospel has been preached, casting out the works of Satan and the corruption of sin, which we could not overcome. By your word, rescue us from every evil of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, give joy to your servants on whom you have laid the necessity to preach the gospel, that by your means many would be saved in every nation, and that together we may share in the blessings of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, give to all Christian homes the endurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, that husbands and wives, parents and children may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their course in this life, and continue to the end in the holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable wreath of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, creator of the world and its foundation, you hold might over the powers of nature and the rulers of the earth. Graciously preserve our land, its produce and industry, and our leaders together with our people. Do not disregard us for our sins, but renew us that our lives may be peaceful and our country governed according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son is the great physician of body and soul, at whose hand demon, disease, and every evil effect of sin must turn away. We bring before you those in need, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe, and the family of John Geiger. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Father, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Bring us in such faith to your holy sacrament that the blood of Christ, which atoned for our sins, may make us whole. Strengthen us against our every spiritual attack of the devil. Turn us in love toward our neighbor and preserve us in body and soul to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek His face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on your guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and enduring faith shall prove. Christ is your life and Christ your love. Faint not nor fear, His arms are near. He changes not who holds you dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is all eternal. Please.